I'm John Krall. Coming up on No Limits, we are going to talk about the folks who serve on the front lines in medical and healthcare, nurses. We're going to discuss the challenges facing the nursing profession with the people who do the work and the people who train them. We will talk about all of this with a great group of guests. Marion Broom, Dean of the IU School of Nursing. Sue Collins, a registered nurse with the Central Indiana Case Management Society of America. And Eric Newsom, a registered nurse at Methodist Hospital. Please join the conversation by calling toll-free 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits at WFYI.org, or sending a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the nursing profession. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits at WFYI.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Got a great group of guests today. Marion Broom is the dean of the IU School of Nursing. Marion, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be here to talk about a very important topic.
It is good to have you here. Sue Collins, who is an RN with the Central Indiana Case Management Society of America. Sue, welcome to the program.
Thank you. And just to add to that, the Central Indiana Case Management is the professional organization of case managers. And Central Indiana is a Central Indiana chapter of the National Case Management Society of America.
Okay, good, good. And Eric Newsom, you are a registered nurse with Methodist Hospital. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
It's good to have you here. And I should say, too, that this is actually not the first time we have heard from Sue. Part of the genesis of this program is that we were doing a show on healthcare a while back. And I can't remember if you called or sent an email saying, you know, we had doctors on the program, and Sue said, well, why don't you have any nurses involved in this discussion? And we all said, well, you know, that's a good idea. She's right. So, and I will say that's one of the things I love about this show. The folks who work on it, Sharon Alseth and Melissa Davis and Jeanette Rhodes and Don Hibschweiler, not only do we like people to listen to the program, but we also like to listen to you guys, too. So thank you very much for the idea. I want to start a little bit just by talking about, you know, in general terms, what makes a good nurse? I mean, what qualities do you look for? And then we'll get to the training aspect and the challenges. But I think we got to start with a base point here. Nursing, I think, is one of those professions that everybody thinks they understand and often don't. So, Marion Broom, I'll start with you.
Well, that's an incredible question. And I think we, all of us who are both in the profession and preparing the next generation, struggle with that question because our environment is changing so dramatically. I graduated in 1973, and I think perhaps back then what made a good nurse might not be exactly what is today. But there are some incredible characteristics that I have found over 38 years in this profession. One is clearly they have got to be very bright individuals. The range of content and knowledge and skills that we have to master is pretty amazing. And they have to be organized. Nursing, thinking like a nurse and working like a nurse is, I think, multitasking at its finest. And because everything in a healthcare delivery system tends to, the focal point, in my opinion, is the nurse. That's the person coordinating the care 24/7. That's the go-to person for other members of the team, certainly members of the family and the patient. And so that has to be somebody who can hold, and there's actually some good research about this, can hold all those priorities kind of stacked one on the other, and then be very adaptable, which is another characteristic, and flexible, and be able to think critically enough to be able to change those priorities at any time, and that the situation demands it. So, and finally, the most important characteristic is compassion. This is a profession that we have the honor to serve individuals when they are at their finest hour, for instance, the birth of a baby, and we are with them at the times of suffering, the times of death, and all over in between that. And so I think a compassionate, it takes a lot of compassion to work with patients and their families and the challenges that they face.
Sue Collins, what makes a good nurse in your view?
Well, certainly, Dean itemized many things. When I'm talking with people about nursing, one of my points is that nursing opens the avenue for so many different ways of caring for people. Nursing is a profession that you can have for all of your life. It gives you the opportunity to be in hospital care, in long-term care, and pediatrics, in case management. It's just a variety of opportunities that offer the person who is the nurse. But the ultimate, my soapbox is, I believe the person must enjoy being with the patient, being at the bedside, that's the part that flows over into any other area in which you're working.
I'll reframe it a little bit for Eric Newsom, since not to give anything away. I think you're a little newer to the profession, perhaps, than the other.
Graduated in 2009.
Okay, so I'd like to talk a little bit about why you decided you wanted to be a nurse. What drew you to the profession in the first place?
Well, I think I could go on with what Sue was saying. I was living in Chicago and kind of got caught up in the dot-com bust and had to move back to Indianapolis and got a job at a billing dialysis center. Mm-hmm. And as I was looking for promotions in the company, everything kept saying RN, RN, RN. And so I would say that I initiated my career change based on the fact that I saw that there were opportunities there. I've kind of been involved with healthcare quite a bit throughout my life, and I thought, well, this should be a good direction.
Is it about the job, the work that appeals to you?
Well, you know, it's evolved in the 3.5 years that I've been there. At first, you know, I thought, oh, I'm going to do some great care. I'm going to be a compassionate nurse. That certainly is key. But in the mistakes that I've made and what I have learned is that a good nurse is someone who doesn't stay silent. You have good training, and you have this intuition inside of you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in my early days, intuition was very loud, and I just thought, oh, well, these are the orders. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then when I realized that it was an opportunity for me to speak out to be an advocate for the patient, now those are kinds of things that I look forward to, being able to look for that opportunity to where something could be better.
We are talking about nursing here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can shoot us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Eric, I want to pick up. You talked about mistakes you made early on, and it sounds like, not to use theological terms, but they were more transgressions of omission rather than commission, that you sat silent when you felt you had an opportunity to talk. Could you talk a little bit more about, you know, maybe a specific circumstance so that people understand and can understand the pressures and the decision making that you had to make as a nurse in that situation?
I'll generalize it. Most of the situations have evolved around where there's been an order set. We're giving the routine care to the patient. Something, an event happens, and perhaps the clinical presentation of the patient would warrant a very common sense, logical approach. But something inside me said, no, this is not what we should be doing. You in that those kinds of cases, you have several people in the room at this point. There's a team approach now. And I think as I'm a newer nurse, I tend to rely on the fact that, okay, these are the more experienced people. They know what they're going to be doing. But really what I found was that there was a voice inside me that said, oh, no, I don't think this is not a way to approach it, because actually I'm a person who's been with a patient for the last 12 hours.
Is it difficult, and I'll throw this one to Marion Broom, who's the dean of the IU School of Nursing. Is it difficult at times in that situation? I mean, frankly, there is a cultural or kind of a stereotype out there. The doctors often disregard nurses and the advice or counsel that nurses can bring to patients. Is that something that you have to train nurses to do, is to say, speak up? Yeah, if you've got a concern, address it.
Absolutely. I actually think that that's not as true now as it used to be in terms of physicians mm-hmm. disregarding. Mm-hmm. I think that was very much the case when I graduated from nursing school. But that whole culture has shifted. In fact, all of healthcare is very focused on everybody speaking out if they think, no matter who it is, if it's a medical student, a nursing student, speaking out if something isn't quite right. But that takes a lot. You know, again, I think Eric spoke to this. There's when you have a team of people making a decision about something and taking it in one direction, and you're the newer person, or frankly, even if you're a pretty experienced person, it takes a lot of courage to trust your judgment about the situation, and it sounded like in this case it was tailored to the patient's mm-hmm. preferences and experience, and then speak up and say, I really think we should try this, or I really think this would be better suited for Mr. Smith, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. And we do have to teach students to speak up. They are, in general, very reluctant to do that. There's authority gradients. Not mm-hmm. just, frankly, with physicians, but also with fellow nurses mm-hmm. who have been there longer and who, they're known on occasion to say, when you get more experience, that's what I was told, when you become a real nurse, you will not do this. And by a much older nurse. So I think it is something that has to be trained, and we actually use simulation to do a lot of that. We have students in situations with scenarios, and now they're actually interdisciplinary scenarios with other kinds of students from the health professions. But it's something you have to learn.
Well, and you mentioned earlier that part of the training is getting people to work like nurses and to think like nurses. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit more about that, what you mean by working like a nurse, and then specifically, well, actually, let's start with the first part of that. How should a person think like a nurse? What does it mean to think like a nurse?
The best way for me to describe this, and I'd be interested to hear what the two of you think, you're thinking at, you cannot afford to just use one set of cues when you're making decisions about patients. You have to think at a number of different levels. You have to think in context. New nurses sometimes try to follow the book, you know, whatever mm-hmm. the exact facts are. And experienced nurses, usually those who have 4 to 5 years of experience, we now call them experts. Those nurses think in a much more contextual. They take in all the stimuli, they take, and it's frankly all at once, and make a clinical judgment.
Well, Sue Collins, I'd like to ask you a little bit. How long does it take? You've been a nurse for how many years?
Oh, 40.
40 years. How long does it take to sort of integrate that mindset and to start thinking like a nurse, almost the point where it's second nature?
Well, it evolves over time. And as you mature and you have more experiences, then you see the outcomes, and you become more confident in your decisions, then that evolves, and you become more trustworthy of yourself. And the nurse is the patient advocate, and is the really the heart of healthcare, because mm-hmm. our assessment looks at the physical needs, the emotional needs, the social needs, the family, the community, and everybody that's involved with that person's care. So you keep your eye and your ears open for everything that's going on around the person with whom you're working.
We are talking about nursing here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. That's a toll-free number. Or you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or shoot us a comment or a question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. My guests today are Marion Broom, who is the dean of the IU School of Nursing, Sue Collins, who is an RN with Central Indiana Case Management Society of America, and Eric Newsom, who is an RN with Methodist Hospital. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I'm John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the nursing profession. My guests are Marion Broom, who is the dean of the IU School of Nursing, Sue Collins, who is an RN with Central Indiana Case Management Society of America, Eric Newsom, who is an RN with Methodist Hospital in the, it's the neurocritical unit?
Yeah, correct. Neurocritical care.
Great. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Ivy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much.
Certainly.
I'm very excited to be on with you.
Oh, good to have you.
Nursing is a second career for me. I was in retailing back years ago, and I just wanted to make a comment that I started in nursing because I was working as a secretary in surgery at Methodist, and I walked into a surgery room one night with a chest full of blood, and the guy was a stab wound victim, and they had all his guts out, and I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. So.
What pray tell was cool about that?
I don't know. I just thought it was really cool looking.
Well, while I've got you, you're working as a nurse right now, right?
Yes, I am. I'm a case manager, and I work with Village Health, which is a which is a part of a large dialysis company called DaVita. And I really, really, really enjoy my job right now. So I get to work from home, and I call on dialysis patients at different clinics and what have you, and it's just a great, great opportunity for me.
Well, thank you very much for the call, Ivy.
Well, thank you very much.
Certainly. Is that a common story? I'll throw this to Marion Broom real quickly, where there's sort of this transformational experience or something where somebody is involved in a crisis situation. Thinks, boy, you know,
well,
this
actually,
is something I really want to do.
I think there's always a story. Usually they're not quite that dramatic. There, a lot of times what we hear is, I was caring for my grandmother with breast cancer, or as she was dying, or my mother came down with some, you know, neurodegenerative disease, and I never really thought about being a nurse, but as I cared for her, it meant a lot to me. So that's the kind of stories I've heard. There is always a story, and it always usually has to do with caring and making a difference and, you know, doing something for someone else. So I think most of us are driven by that.
Sue Collins and Eric Newsom, I'll ask both of you, what is it you like most about being a nurse? We're going to get to the hard parts of being a nurse here in a bit, but I thought we'll start with the really, you know, what is the deep satisfaction? Sue Collins, you go first, please.
Okay. For me, it's being with the person, looking at the person as a total person, looking at all the opportunities, and helping that person and the family to feel better, to feel confident about the disease process or about the surgical procedure, about their total care. The reward is, for me, is seeing that person say, oh, thank you, I never thought of that. this makes such a difference for me to know that these are opportunities that I have. And that's my biggest reward from being a nurse. Yes. I'm not in the clinical world right now. I'm with friends and family out in the community more. And that's what I hear.
Eric Newsom, what's the deep satisfaction?
Well, I would pick up on the family aspect of it. In my unit, I think what I was drawn to was that most people come into there with a very serious life-changing event, not just for the patient, but for the family themselves. And like I had Ivy had expressed, you know, oh, there's this grotesque part about that seemed interesting, and there certainly is when you're looking at a scan of this brain and you realize it's just no longer normal and this person's life is no longer going to be normal. That was very exciting to me. I enjoyed that part, and I enjoyed looking at those scans and thinking, oh, this is the kind of the treatment we're going to be giving. But then comes the family into the room, and then I get to shine. I get to be very patient. I get to be very silent with them. I get to ask them very leading questions to get them to express what they're feeling, or sometimes I just need to leave the room. Walking them through that very difficult process, and sometimes minute by minute, getting them to try to understand the complexity of the situation. In neuro, unlike in maybe a cardiac unit where we can say, here's the process, it's going to take this number of days, in neuro, it's you don't know what truly the outcome is going to be most of the time. So that part I enjoy. I really enjoy the education part.
We are talking about nursing here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Gideon, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the program. I got a question, and it's kind of for the dean.
Sure.
Why is the nursing profession so expensive as far as the education?
Good question. We'll get you an answer. Thank you, Gideon.
You're welcome.
Dean Broom, yes,
that's
please.
A very good question. Because we are in the professional schools are usually a bit more expensive than other kinds of programs in a university, and primarily that's because we have to limit the number of students that we take. There are state regulations that say we can, in the clinical supervision area, and about every one of our students has to have 1,000 hours of clinical supervision during the 2.5 years they're with us during their baccalaureate program. We have to have nursing faculty who are 1 to 10. So, and frankly, 10 is probably too many. That because they're taking care of 10 patients, if you think about it. And safety and quality of that patient care is absolutely paramount. It's the most important thing. But so is getting the students adequate clinical experiences. Some of the things that we've had to move to because of the very high-tech healthcare systems is a lot more simulation with, instead of putting students with patients who are very, very sick, right immediately, we actually walk them through some simulation experiences in a laboratory. Well, those laboratories are phenomenally expensive. And tuition, as everybody knows, state appropriations have been decreasing over time. It's actually half of what it was of my budget in 20. It wasn't my budget 20 years ago, but 20 years ago, it was about 85% of the budget of the School of Nursing. It is now closer to 40%. And so tuition has to make up the balance of that. I would, on the other hand, our graduates are getting jobs, and they are getting jobs paying anywhere from $35,000 to $50,000 a year when they start. And so it is true that the average debt load's about $21,000, but they get a job, and 95% of them have a job within 6 months, and they have very long careers ahead of them. So it is expensive, but it is, I think it's a very good investment in terms of an education.
I will go with that. Having gotten my degree at IU, under the direction of Dean Broom, actually, it was a great experience. There was often during the 3 years there that we were like, oh, tuition's going up again. But in retrospect, I would say that most people in the IU school nursing realized that while it was expensive, that we were actually getting a good value for our dollar compared to what some other people are paying in other universities. So there are, while it is expensive, there are strategies that you can have that help keep that down. You know, certainly getting to a good quality school with reputation, one that has, I mean, I got a $10,000 scholarship 1 year. So that was a big help. There are lots of things that you can do to help decrease that. And then there's the value added to it when you complete it. I'm finishing up my master's in healthcare informatics, and that degree has cost me $0. Reimbursement,
why is that?
Reimbursement from my company. I got some funding from the stimulus package from Obama. So there were opportunities there that degree opened up, and that will only build onto that. So it's a debt, but you really have to look at it as an investment.
Well, and Dean Broome, you say when they come out, when nursing students come out, jobs somewhere between 35 and 50. What's the top end? I mean, you know, presumably that's the range for people who are just entering the profession. Someone who say, Sue Collins has been in the profession for 40 years. What would a 40-year nurse possibly be? I'm not going to ask Sue how much she makes
okay,
on the air. That's not fair. But
right. Salaries are actually more dependent on the role, so that although there are now increases in salary as you have more experience at the bedside, that, in fact, where the extra salary increases come are when nurses go back and expand their role with a master's degree, and they become nurse practitioners. And nurse practitioners now, nurse anesthetists, acute care nurse practitioners, they will actually start at $100,000.
So you can make a very comfortable living then.
I think a very comfortable and a very rewarding.
I'm curious, what does case managers make?
So you're going to ask the question that I wasn't there.
Not a 40-year experience case manager. And maybe I'd explain that a little bit.
Yeah, please.
The case manager,
yeah. Sure. The role of the nurse in case management, because I know that at IU that's becoming a key position now.
It is a key position. And as we transform more into the Affordable Care Act, case managers are really going to be right at the focus of that coordinated care. And case management really rests on the nursing process of assessment, evaluation, planning, and then implementation of that plan, checking the plan, and moving forward with the total health care, looking at all the aspects that go into getting the person to a more stable level in some cases, getting them home, or working with a chronicity of the disease process. So case managers, depending, can work for hospitals, can work for long-term care facilities, can have a business of their own doing case management. So the salary range can be from 35, 50, 75,000, and if you own your own business, then you can be
as profitable
an entrepreneur.
As you can run the business.
Right.
We have gotten a Facebook question from a listener named Jenny, and if you want to reach out to us through Facebook, you can find us at WFYI. And Jenny's question is, I just recently graduated from an LPN program in Indianapolis. I am wanting to return to school to get my RN degree. Would you recommend an associate's degree or to just go for my bachelor's? I have heard from other RNs that local hospitals will stop hiring associate degree RNs.
Yes, go for the bachelor's.
All right, Eric.
Yes,
Newsom, you jump
there are announcements already been made at my company that they will hire some associates, but you will be required to get the bachelor's. And, you know, you almost put the same amount of time in. You really do.
You know, to add to that,
Sue Collins, please.
To add to that, nursing is a profession. It's not you're walking down a little narrow road and being told what to do. It's a profession. You have education. So you can look at and evaluate, as Eric and Dean said, all the other incidentals that are coming in with that person. And you have to have that knowledge in order to make that change and understand what's the information that you're getting and then put a plan together to make a change for that.
We are talking about nursing here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Mary, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello, Mary. Welcome to the program.
Yes.
Your question.
I was listening to the program, and I've been a nurse for 15 years and float the critical care areas at a local hospital, and I'm really enjoying it, and I agree with what everyone's been saying about all the good aspects of nursing, but I think that I would also like to bring up the fact that the healthcare professionals have the highest rate of violence against them. You're seeing people at their worst in the most difficult times, and you have to be able to handle those situations as well.
Mm-hmm. Good question. We will talk about that. And actually, Mary does give us a segue into it. So far, we've talked about the upside of nursing and
right.
why people would be drawn to it. Although I think you've all alluded to the fact that nurses see people at their best and their worst, generally their most vulnerable, you know, when they're scared or very excited at some of the most intimate moments of their lives. What are some of the downsides to nursing? I'll start with Eric Newsom on that one.
Well, I have been punched before, right in the stomach. So there are dangers to the job.
Who punched you?
It was a patient, yes. In the context, you know, you should understand the patient had Alzheimer's, was very confused about the surroundings. And actually, I mean, he belted me pretty good. But I actually just kind of laughed about it because I understood the situation he was in. Now, there are other times, though, especially in the neurocritical care, you just get people who are completely uninhibited. They don't understand who they are anymore. And it gets very tense. Patients get very verbal. But I also work in a company that says that we don't tolerate that. And so we work as a team, and actually just that presence of a team, people standing there, loud, the patient can say whatever they want, but it's the actions that we are there to stop. And just that presence helps it. That's difficulties of the job. I think the thing that has been challenging for me is I remember the first review I had, and I got a raise, got a bonus. Uh-huh. And then the second year, got not as big as a bonus, got a smaller raise. Uh-huh. With a little note in that letter that said, we're heading towards this accountable care. And then the third year, it says, well, now we have this accountable care. It's going to be based on your contribution management, and we didn't have good patient scores this year. So there's going to be no bonus. So all of a sudden, my job's been introduced with this concept of patient satisfaction scores.
Well, and I want to talk a little bit about how you train nurses to deal with those things, Marion Broom. What level of detection? I would think it'd be relatively difficult not to take it personally when someone punches you.
Okay.
So, Marion Broom, how do you prepare nurses to deal with something like that?
Well, I'm not sure that the curricula are changing and are changing to actually recognize this. There's a lot more in the nursing literature now talking about especially areas like emergency room, psych mental health. And, you know, again, what we have to do, and I don't think the focus of how to protect yourself is really as strong in the baccalaureate program as some other content. I think this whole team concept that Eric alluded to is absolutely critical. You're not there by yourself. You should never think it is you yourself that has to manage these out of control situations, because if it's not patients, sometimes it's families. And so again, teaching nurses to be contextually aware, like what's mm-hmm. going on in the environment, when is my safety and the patient's safety at risk, and then asking for help. And
we are talking about nursing today on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881, and you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. My guests are Marion Broom, Sue Collins, and Eric Newsom. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking today about the nursing profession. My guests are Marion Broom, who is the dean of the IU School of Nursing, Sue Collins, who is an RN with Central Indiana Case Management Society of America. As I told Sue at one of the breaks, whoever came up with that title did not work in radio. Eric Newsom, who is an RN with Methodist Hospital. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Certainly. Your question, please.
My question was for Dean Broom, and I actually graduated with Eric, so it's Nancy Thomas. Eric, if you remember me.
Hi, Nancy. How are you doing?
Okay.
Good. Yes, been like Eric for 3.5 years.
So we're coordinating reunions here on the show now. Yeah. We're all service program.
Are you an alumni in the Alumni Association? I'm on the board. I got to recruit you.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Nancy, why don't we get to your question? We'll put you and Eric together after the show.
That'll be fine.
Great.
My question was to Dean Broom in regards to nursing school, and we always have a lot of discussions about all the care plans and all the paper writing that we were required to do, which when you get out into the field, I haven't written a single paper, and I wish more time would have been spent really with patient care and developing critical thinking skills. So do you see a change in nursing school?
Good question. Thank you very much for the call, Nancy.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually, the curriculum right now is undergoing pretty dramatic reformation, I guess I would say, or revision. And part of it, frankly, is the way that we are learning through other research and how students learn best, what kinds of learning activities, et cetera, are most useful. I think the increase in simulation, in fact, has been shown to really sharpen clinical judgment. We now do 2-minute papers instead of the 20-page papers, for instance. Not just for the students and their learning, but frankly, faculty grading 20-page papers for 100 students is a lot to ask anybody.
Pages,
yeah, it's
right.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I would say that sometimes I know from my experience, master's and PhD and baccalaureate, it sometimes is 10 years out before I realize, oh, that's why we did that. I get it. And I'm not saying that will. You haven't written a paper, I have no doubt, but how you think. And how you process information and how you analyze information. I would hope that some of that came from learning to write and analyze a situation and then articulate it in a way for someone else. But, you know, everybody's different, so I'm not sure.
I want to throw this to Sue Collins, though, because I think this brings us into a fascinating area, which is how the preparation for nurses and what they need to know might have changed. You mentioned you've been in the profession for 40 years. What did you need to know? What do you need to know now that you didn't need to know 40 years ago?
Oh, my. Oh, my. Just walk into any ICU and you can see the difference right away. There certainly over time there have been many, many, many changes, more instrumentation, more monitoring. I'm a surgical nurse. I did neurosurgery 30 years ago, and I would be hard-pressed to do to assist and to be the scrub nurse in neurosurgery now because of all the changes. And so that gets me back to what I was saying about the professionalism of nursing and mm-hmm. the need to be adaptive, to change. That's one of the underlying parts of healthcare now is the change, and we're seeing that always there's change. I can remember many years ago when people were complaining about change, and it's still going on. So One of the options for nursing in the area is that on some level you have to love change, mm-hmm. because that's where healthcare is always doing, which is very good, because if we think when I was started nursing, when somebody had a gallbladder surgery, they were in for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, outpatient.
Mm-hmm.
And so those changes have been so helpful to the patient.
Well, and I guess I'd like to ask also, we've gotten a question from a listener that I'm going to who didn't want to go on the air, that I'm going to refine a little bit. You know, most professions now have continuing education requirements. Oh. Is that the case with nursing, too? And what are those requirements, Dean Broom?
That is true in some states. I've lived in 5 different states with a nursing license over the last 38 years, and 2 of those did have mandatory continuing education.
Do we in Indiana?
We do not. And
should we?
We should, unfortunately, because I would say just what Sue said, is that nursing is a profession and it requires what I would call lifelong learning. Now, that doesn't mean everybody goes back for a master's and a doctorate at all, but that does mean that when something new comes up, you get another certification, or you come back for a short course, or in the language of online learning, you come back for a badge course, or, you know, that you really continually see your profession as dynamic and changing, and that requires more education. And I think some people, to be relicensed, are going to need a structure like that to say you have to have so much before they are able to take advantage of it.
We're having a great conversation today on No Limits about nursing. You can join it by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Margaret, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. Your question, please.
This is a wonderful program.
Thank you.
I recently retired. I graduated also in 1973 with my associate degree. I went on, and I did complete my bachelor's degree 8 years later, and then I went on and got my master's degree. But I think that the emphasis that nursing is a profession is so important. It's not nurses' training the way perhaps it was in the early part of the 20th century, even into the mid-20th century, when nurses were expected just to kind of follow the doctors around and do what they were told. Nursing is a profession with its own body of knowledge and skills, and it is just so important that nurses be educated, which means they're taught, they have to be able to think, and because they're not just reacting, they are coming up with the plans in many cases. But I just wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed this and how much I support mandatory BSN for registered nurses. I think LPN.
Could you explain what that acronym is, the BSN?
The Bachelor of Science in Nursing. I feel that should be mandatory to be a registered nurse. In fact, when I was in my associate degree program, I was told then that a bachelor's degree was probably going to be mandatory within 10 years. That was in 19, you know, the early mm-hmm. 70s. And look at us now, 40 years later, and I don't understand why this hasn't been resolved. I think that LPNs need an associate degree now, mm-hmm. as complex as care is. So I'll quit.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call, Margaret.
Thank you.
Certainly. Well, in some ways, it sounds like what Margaret's saying is that the education of nurses and the preparation, at least in this state, have not evolved perhaps as quickly as they should have. Is there enough state support for that, or is that?
Oh, well, I'm not sure I'd say it exactly that way, and mm-hmm. I would separate continuing education from continued degrees. Actually, this state, there's 46, you never know day to day, nursing programs. About 14 or 15 of those are baccalaureate. And compared to years ago when you had to go back and redo all the courses to get a baccalaureate, which was really ridiculous, mm-hmm. it could not be more accessible. Many of the baccalaureate programs, if you already have an associate degree, are online. They take about a year. You have to do some different prereqs. They are, and employers, as Eric has mentioned, will pay for you to go back to school. Mm-hmm. It really there is not much that we could do to make this any more and maintain inequality easier, I don't believe. I think the state has put some money into all the public institutions have RN to BSN programs. And almost all the private baccalaureate programs also have RN to BSN programs. So I think it's a matter of it's hard to balance your life to get this done. But if mm-hmm. if this career is important to you and this profession is important, I think people find a way.
And
go ahead, Sue Collins, please.
I'd like to add to that. Now there are the specialty certifications. Mm-hmm. Oh my, their case management, their quality, surgical, rehabilitation. I don't have them all in front of me, but there are many, many certifications that nurses can exams that they can sit for. And that, too, that although that's a specialty, that adds another layer of knowledge for that person in doing that particular part of healthcare.
We are talking about nursing here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or send a comment or question via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Helena, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's actually Halima.
Halima, I'm sorry. I misread it on the screen.
Hi, Halima. I think I recognize your voice.
Yes, I was going to say, I graduated with Eric as well.
Oh, my. So you brought your own fan club here with us.
So I did.
All right. Okay, well, Halima, I'm sorry to mispronounce your name. Your question, please.
Eric and I were one of a few students who completed the Nursing Honors Program, which is very research-focused. And I was going to ask Dean Broom just to speak a little bit about how the role of nursing researchers in the nursing profession.
Good question. Thank you very much, Halima.
And I'd like to broaden it beyond just nursing researchers into nursing faculty, because they're actually pretty much one and the same. There's a tremendous shortage of nursing faculty, and nursing faculty should, for the entire profession, have a doctoral degree, whether it's a doctor of nursing practice or a PhD.
Why is there a shortage?
Well, the average age is 60 now of nursing faculty, and so obviously we're mostly boomers. We didn't quite look around, and when we were a little bit younger, and say, oh, gee, who's following us? And so we made it, nursing, as you know, is predominantly female, and nurses would graduate from their baccalaureate. Even if they went back to get their master's, they would tended to be late 30s, early 40s. If they did go on to get a doctoral degree, it was even later than that, compared to, for instance, the late 20s for other disciplines. And so it's just been within the last 5-6 years that we have focused on really trying to recruit nurses in their 20s, early 30s, and getting them back into now doctor of nursing practice or the PhD program. It's going to be absolutely critical for the future, and both of those programs are growing and are going to be essential if we're going to continue to put out that pipeline of nurses for care, for specialty practice, for leadership and nurse executives in health systems. We really have to have a greater cadre of nursing faculty.
And I think two of Eric's classmates here have had an interesting, one of them is saying, well, why did we have to do as much writing as we did and research when we could have been focusing on patient care? And then Halima just said, you know, in effect, well, research is important. Sounds like, is that kind of a divide right now in terms of every curriculum and every field of knowledge these days has its discussions about where the proper emphasis
ought
to be put.
Well, I think that there is a challenge to that. In my master's work in informatics, there has been an emphasis on the research part of it. Mm. I've been disgruntled a little bit because I haven't had enough, what I would say, the technology training that I was expecting to have. Mm-hmm. So Halima and Nancy have presented, you know, mm-hmm. two different approaches to, you know, what is the value of my education? Mm-hmm. I want to be trained into the profession, or I also want to be trained to be able to create new knowledge. perhaps it's two different paths, two mm-hmm. different directions, two different preferences. One can make a choice early on. Mm-hmm.
Jacob, welcome to the program.
Hi. Was just curious. One of the guests mentioned earlier the role of patient satisfaction in determining nursing pay and remuneration. I was wondering if you could talk about some of the, you know, pros, and I'm guessing many cons to that. And I'll take my call off the air. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for the call, Jacob. Well, and it sounds like that's also an emerging trend in the profession as well. Eric, do you want to speak to that first?
I think it was kind of shocking that that term HCAPS started coming around, mm-hmm. and I can't even tell you exactly what that stands for. It's Healthcare Accountability Patient Scores or something like that.
Okay.
We're trained to know how to take care of a patient, to be advocates for patient, to be compassionate, and then all of a sudden we get thrown into this formula. Well, are we taking care of the patient, and are we giving them a good experience while they're there? And that opens everything up to a broad interpretation from their perspective. I think it's interesting that in my hospital...
If I don't get better immediately, I'm not satisfied.
I think it's interesting that in the CEO of our company, there's a loop that plays on in the on the TVs, and he says, you are an important member of your care team. And I don't know if that was a phrase that would have been used 10 years ago. And that's probably going to be changing to where you are the important captain of the care team now, where the patient really is becoming more of a focal and the decision maker. And that's something I wasn't really trained to handle. How do I provide this perspective of customer care where I have to be kind of walk a delicate line? I've got an angry patient. I feel a little threatened, but yet I got to kind of stand in that room and negotiate with him on this level. Because I want a good patient satisfaction score from them, because that is
determines how you get paid.
It's going to determine more and more how I get my bonuses, at least.
Well, Marion Broom, in about, 45 seconds, could you talk about this? Does Eric saying that's not how he was trained or prepared, is that something that's going to have to change in terms of nursing education?
Well, I think this whole issue of what hospitals, as Sue talked about the Affordable Care Act, how hospitals are going to be reimbursed is a very complex situation, and I know a lot of this because I sit in some of those meetings at the health system level. And it's not just about patient satisfaction. It's actually also about patient outcomes like falls mm-hmm. and infections and things, frankly, that nurses are very, very involved in playing a major role in. But this has been a change, a very quick change in how hospitals are reimbursed mm-hmm. Over the last 3 years or so. So it is something in this new curriculum revision that I was talking about that we are definitely talking to students about and helping them to think about, as well as their role. But we're also having to change from an acute care-based curriculum pretty much completely not... to more transitions. Patients go home. Mm-hmm. They go home sooner. We have to help students to understand how to best prepare them. I mean, things that Eric and Sue have been talking about.
We have been talking about nursing, and I've got to say this has been a fascinating conversation. I think we could do another 2 hours. I hope we can get you all to come back at some point. My guests have been Marion Broom, who's the dean of the IU School of Nursing, Sue Collins, who is an RN with Central Indiana Case Management Society of America, and Eric Newsom, who is an RN with Methodist Hospital. I'm John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Radio, 90.1 FM, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producer, Jeanette Rhodes. Board engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each Thursday for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.